Thank you for the lead-in. Good morning. Okay, you got me on. Okay, just wanted to check. Jesus is alive. Jesus is Savior, truth. Lord. Jesus is Lord, God, love,
the way,
the truth and the life. Yeah, we have that. And that was the first one that you preached on. Didn't you take notice? I saw that was the first one that was taken when we had this series, Jesus Is. And that was the first one that was preached on. So, what other things is Jesus? Jesus is what? You hit some of the ones that were spoke about. How about some other things?
Healer.
Comforter. God's Son.
Protector.
Provider.
Emmanuel.
Refuge. Faithful. Thank you. Well, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. You know, after they took the easy one, the way, the truth, and the life, I thought, now what is left? And I started looking and praying about this and saying, hey, it's Jesus is coming again. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do we know that's right?
It says so in his book.
It says so in his book, and his book is the Bible, the Word of God. So Jesus is coming again. What is your attitude toward the fact that Jesus said in his word he is coming again? What is your attitude toward the fact that Jesus is coming again?
Come soon.
Are you ready?
Okay,
he's ready. How about you? Are you ready? Church, are you ready?
Yes.
Are we sure?
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. What's left at home that we want to do yet? What's in the bucket list that we want to do? That
doesn't matter?
No, it
doesn't matter.
Oh.
Nothing in this earth matters.
Well, the story's told about a lady that wanted the Lord to return, but he didn't want to return yet because she had things she wanted to do yet. Well, how about that? What is our attitude towards the fact that Jesus is coming again? First of all, what's an attitude? A what?
State of mind.
A feeling, emotion toward a fact or a state. Our attitudes often influence what we are. A position assumed for a specific purpose. What do you think about his second coming? When will it happen? When is he coming back? As long as any of us are alive here, we've been to church, we've been to revival meetings. Some of you people don't even know what revival meetings are anymore. Revival meetings, evangelistic meetings, and they say, the evangelists will get up there, the Lord is what? Going to return soon. Soon he's going to return. What makes it that he might soon return? Well, I think we got to look at the Bible, the book again. The book says that there will be times. Well, let's go to the scriptures. So when will it happen? When is he coming back? Is he coming back? Why is he taking so long? How are you preparing for his second coming? How are you preparing for his second coming? And we're not going to take the time to hear all your responses this morning. You have the next 7 days to work on that till next Sunday. Jesus said he will come again. And you know what? If Jesus said it, it's going to happen. Jesus said it's going to happen. If Glenn says it, sometimes it doesn't happen as Glenn says it was going to happen. Jesus is coming again. And we're talking about attitudes concerning the second coming. Somebody has a scripture for us. from Matthew 24, 36 to 46. Matthew 24, 36 to 46. Listen as it is read for us, and just put that in your memory bank.
No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at that what time of night the thief was coming, he will have kept watch and will not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Thank you for that scripture reading. Thank you. No one knows when the Lord's going to return. Even though all of us here probably have heard somebody say that the Lord's going to return on such and such a day, such and such a year, the Lord's going to return. What happened to all those? They went by the wayside. They weren't what the Bible says. No one knows. Now we know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. If we go to the book of Acts, we'll find something about the ascension of Christ into heaven. After his resurrection, after that cornerstone, that foundational event that took place for us as Christians, that solidified the finality that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He then went to ascend to be with the Father in heaven. He's there interceding for you and I today. Sometimes you may think you're all alone in this life. Jesus is interceding for you and I today in heaven. He's at the Father's right hand interceding for you. I also have some scripture to read from 2 Peter 3, 8 to 10. 2 Peter 3, 8 to 10.
But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare.
Thank you for that reading. Attitude concerning our readiness for the kingdom of heaven. Readiness is the word we're looking at. Therefore also be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man comes. Are you and I living in readiness, a readiness state? Are we living parables by the lives that we live to those people we come in contact with this past week? Are we living parables? You know what parables are? Parables are a heavenly story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Did I have that right now, church? Yeah, okay. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You might know that we've also been at the conference about living parables. We heard a lot about that. You and I are to be living parables because we are God's people. We have selected. We have made a choice to live for Jesus. Therefore, let us live as a living parable of what the Scriptures teach. Prepare for use of experience or action immediately, like to do something indicated. What preparations do we make when someone is coming to our home? Just like this morning, the children were going to the beach or wherever they were preparing for vacation. What preparations does one make when going someplace? Well, one of the things they do, they have an appointed time for arrival. What preparations are made for visits to your home? If we were coming to your home this morning, today at lunchtime, would all the toys be put away? Would all the beds be made? Would all the family be working together to accomplish those chores that need to be done before the arrival of the people coming to your home? What happens when you invite somebody to your home and you're supposed to be there at a certain set time and the person doesn't come at that time? What happens? Do we look them down the road? Do we look for them? Do we call them? I had a meeting on Thursday, and there was four of us at the meeting, and there were three of us there, and we couldn't get into the building, into the church, because it was locked, and the guy that was going to come was going to open for us. And it was still not quite time, but we were getting excited. So the one person said, I'm going to call, because that way, if he forgot about the meeting, he'll get ready to come. Well, he called him, and the person is on his way to the post office, and he'll be at the meeting shortly. There again, we were getting a little antsy. We wanted to get going. We wanted to have this meeting. Family works together. What are the preparations and signs spoken about the arrival of Jesus? There's going to be an appointed hour that he's going to come. The hour when you think not. Preparations for his coming. Let not your heart be troubled. Help me, church. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Now, I messed up. Sorry about that. John 14. Now, that's a mess. John 14. Let's turn to it and get it right. Let not your heart be troubled. There we go. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And that goes on to talk about Thomas. The preparations are being made for us to come. Jesus is going to return because he is preparing for us. But what happens sometimes when people are deeply absorbed in the things of this world, as was read for us in our scriptures? What happens? We get sidetracked and we lose our attention. Let me share you this illustration. What if it were today? And that I heard from some of you this morning. What if it were today? A traveler chanced upon a beautiful villa situated on the shores of a beautiful lake in Switzerland, far from the beaten track of tourists. The traveler knocked at the garden gate, and an aged man undid its heavy fastenings and bade him enter. The aged man seemed glad to see him and showed him around the wonderful garden. How long have you been here? The traveler asked. 24 years. How often has your master been here? 4 times. When was he last here? 12 years ago. He writes often? Never once. From whom do you receive your pay? His agent. But he comes here often. He has never been here. Who does come here then? I am almost always alone. It is very, very seldom that even a stranger comes. Yet, you have the garden in such perfect order, everything flourishing as if you were expecting your master's coming tomorrow. As if he were coming today, sir. Today, exclaimed the old man. It was our duty to be ready for the Lord's coming today, though his coming may be far in the future or near. This person was taking care of that garden. have an immaculate. Whether or not the master was there, he had it ready. He had it ready. How ready are we living for the Lord's return? The Lord's return is going to take place when the gospel is preached to all the world. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. All the world. Matthew 28 talks about the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. What are we supposed to do? Preach and teach and make disciples. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go. And if anybody was at conference or listened to any of the sermon from last Sunday morning, you would know that the word go is the first word that's taking place in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We're to go. We're not to be there sitting. We're supposed to be going. We're supposed to be going forth and telling the story. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, I want to look at the attitude of patient waiting. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many have the treasure of knowledge and want utterance to employ for the good of others. However, they tend to wrap it in a napkin. And we'll look at that a little bit later. Knowing that the signs of our Lord's return are here, not knowing the exact time of his coming, we should make sure of our readiness for the others may also be ready. It is better to be ready than to know the exact time of his coming. Be ready. Have your parents, when you were growing up, to be ready at a certain time? Some of us here would be ready by 9 o'clock or whatever the time was. Some of us would be ready at 5 of 9 or 10 of 9. We'd be ready, sitting around waiting for the time to arrive. And then there's some of us, would wait till about 9:05 to be ready, and then we would have, why aren't you ready yet? We told you that we're going to leave at such a time. What does the scripture say in Matthew about the virgins who had their lamps? They had their lamps trimmed, but there were some 5 foolish virgins who had their lamps, but they didn't have the extra oil they needed for the time span that was going to be allotted. They went and had a little oil. They were asking the other people for their oil. So, our readiness for his coming. Second one is the attitude concerning stewardship. What does stewardship mean? Stewardship means individual responsibility to manage one's life, property, with proper regard to the rights of others and knowing who we are. Luke 19:13 talks about the parable of the man who was going to go on a trip, and he was going to be giving to his servants. He gave his 10 servants, delivered unto them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. The master leaves them. They have great work to do. He gave them the pounds to be traders, not first-rate merchants. But he says, occupy till I come, or trade till I come. And be busy, be about the work. And all of us, as Christians, have business to do for Christ in this world in which we live. Now, we can't do the work in Virginia or Texas or Maryland or whatever, except some money could be sent there for some of those purposes. But we're in Brickerville, we're in Mannheim, we're in Ephrata, we're in these areas, or wherever our life travels take us. We need to occupy for Jesus. How is the living parable that you are to be? 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, to be trustworthy. How many of you like trustworthy people? I know Dave does. especially when you have people working for you, you want them to be trustworthy, you're letting them go out with equipment, with all kinds of stuff, with responsibility to care for a matter. How about your devotion to God? Faithful in time, in money, in our speech, in our actions. What we see, what do we put before our eyes? That, and I'll let you chew on for a while. What do we put before our eyes? What do we listen to? What do we hear in our ears when those earbuds are in? And we don't hear anything, but we see somebody coming. You can't hear all too well when you have those earplugs in. What about the smell? What about the things you touch? What about the things you taste? Yes, we need to be good stewards, because the scripture says, know what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in our spirit and in our body, because they are God's. We are obligated to glorify God both with our body and our spirit. He made us and bought us. We must see ourselves as holy to the Lord. Do we think about that? That we are holy before the Lord? We think about His return? Do we think about the fact that we are holy before the Lord? Body and spirit are to be kept clean, that God is honored in both. But God is dishonored when either is defiled by sin. Therefore, flee fornication and every sin. Use the body to glorify God and service to the Lord our Maker. With God, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Know that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he is bond or free. Ephesians 6:7. What are the things that are taking place in your life? And if we turn to Matthew 25, we would find... Do I have a scripture, Matthew 25, somebody? I think I might have canceled that out. So I'll just turn to it myself here. Matthew 25 talks about visiting sick, supporting the widows, visiting the people in prison, things that God calls us to do. And I'm going to start at Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king shall say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And what's the king going to say? And the king shall answer, saying unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Talking about a parable here, the division of the sheep and the goats. And then it goes on to say after this, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall I answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. A vivid, vivid picture. When are you serving somebody? Have you served somebody this past week? Have you entertained angels unawares? Think about that. Jesus Christ needs to be the reason for all our service rendered. A steady regard to the Lord Jesus Christ will make men and women sincere in every station in your life. As we continue to look here a little bit at stewardship yet, going to 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, so-called. Such things that do not honor God, such that are empty. Paul charged to Timothy, whatever thou doest, be sure to keep the trust, for it is too great to be betrayed. Have you ever had a situation where there's a trust was broken between somebody? Trust is hard to regain. It can be earned, but it is one of those things that takes time, healing, and God's love. That the science which opposed the truth is false. Those who advance reasoning above faith are in danger of leaving the faith. Then we're moving on to the third attitude concerning this joyful expectation. Jesus is coming. A joyful expectation. It's a joyful expectation for those who are anticipating it. Somebody has Titus 2, 11 through 15, please.
Titus 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you.
Thank you. Your translation doesn't have that who gave himself for us that we might be redeemed, us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people. You're not peculiar in yours. I sort of like that one. We're supposed to be peculiar people. I'm not saying our parents didn't at times tell us certain things. But because he said he will come again, we can have that joyful expectation. In his second coming, he will reward his servants and bring them to glory with him. There is a common and blessed hope for all true Christians. The design of the gospel is to stir up all to a good life by a blessed hope. This is a stir stick. The one we got at conference on Sunday was a wooden one, which showed up better. You and I are to be stirring the world. Go ye therefore into all the world. We're to be stirring the world for Jesus Christ. We need to stir. Think about that stir stick. Are you stirring up to a good life by the blessed hope? Let me read that again. The design of the gospel is to stir up all to a good life by this blessed hope. Stir up. Think about that. At the glorious appearing of Christ, the blessed hope of Christians will be attained. The comfort and joy of Christians is that their Savior is a great God and will gloriously manifest himself. At that day, we don't know when, but we're to be ready. Be ready. Be ready. He says, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now where I am, there you may be also. Acts chapter 1, Acts. And I'm going to verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. We need to have an attitude of readiness, an attitude of stewardship, and an attitude of joyful expectation when the Lord will return to take us home to be with him in glory land. At Jesus' second coming, the righteous dead will be raised to life, taken up to heaven along with the righteous who are still alive on earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, For the Lord himself we descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the truth of your word, knowing that your promises will not fail as men's fail. We come, Lord, thanking you for the church, the body of Christ, wherever that might be around the world, that they might also be readying for that time when you're going to return. Help us to keep our focus on that which you have said, you will return. Thank you, Jesus, for being at the Father's right hand, interceding for us, and that you are going to return to take us home to be with you in glory land. Help us, Father, to continue to study your book, the Bible, to know what is there and to understand how, therefore, to live in light of your second coming as living parables in the world in which we live. Amen. Can we sing that chorus, and God be with you till we meet again? Go ahead. We'll sing it. God be with you till we meet again. Be with you.